As we remain standing, we're going to pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that your word will touch our hearts, that in the power of your spirit it will lean into our thoughts and enable us to know you more and be changed in that knowing, to be equipped for the lives that we're living for you. And so we ask you to do an amazing work with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please be seated. It's good for us to listen to God's word, isn't it? And to think upon those truths that God wants us to absorb into ourselves. I'm going to be speaking from the Genesis chapter 25 passage. Let me start by reminding you of God's promise to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. If you remember those promises, they're quite extraordinary. Verse 2 in chapter 12, God says to Abram, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." It's an extraordinary promise, but it's the beginning of what was a slow journey for Abram and Sarah. In Genesis chapter 15, just a little bit further on in verse 3, and in the light of that promise, Abram reminds God, "You have given me no offspring." Descendants are at the heart of this promise. But God reaffirms the promise to Abram in verse 5. He takes Abram outside and says, you remember this bit, "Look up, look towards heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Amazing promise from God. Children were central. Descendants are central to that promise. But Abraham and Sarah were waiting. And they waited a long time. Finally, when 190 years old, the two of them, Isaac was born to them. And now in Genesis chapter 25, we discover that Isaac, their child, and Rebecca had the same struggle that the parents had themselves. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebecca, and 20 years passed before they had children. We don't know why for Abraham, his family, and Isaac and his wife, why they had to wait so long for God's promise to be fulfilled. We don't know why, but we can see important things in these verses. And I want to pick out three of them, if I may, for you this morning. Firstly, God answers prayer. I'm sure we agree with this, but it is important to see in Scripture God answers prayer. Chapter 25 and verse 21, we read, "Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived." God hears your prayers. We don't know when Isaac began praying during those 20 years. We don't know if he started straight away. We don't know if he prayed later on. I think we know for ourselves, it's one of the challenges of prayer, isn't it? When do we start praying? Do we pray when we've exhausted all our own ideas? Do we trust in ourselves and eventually we pray because we have nowhere else to go? Or do we start praying straight away? Do you pray about everything from the moment it happens? Do you bring it to God, for he is God? We might know ourselves in this story. How long does it take us? Do we actually pray about things? Do we worry about things rather than pray? Where are we in that story? And I think the question then follows on. How long do you pray for something if it doesn't happen before you stop? Do we carry on praying? The picture here is of those who were following God who kept praying. That Isaac kept praying. Praying that God would hear his prayer and answer his prayer. This part of the book of Genesis reminds us of what is impossible for us is never impossible for God. He can open a barren womb. He can heal incurable diseases. He can open doors that seem firmly shut, and he can draw people to himself that we might think it's impossible for them to be drawn. We're to be people who believe. However hard that is, look to the scriptures. Here was an 100-year-old and a 90-year-old who had a child. Here's somebody who's praying, when we think of Isaac, for 20 years. And then God answers that prayer. This is God who is extraordinarily able in his timing to do things that we could ever, never perhaps even believe he can do. So we are to keep praying. Pray for your children, pray for your families, pray for those who are furthest away from God and you wonder whether they'll ever get near. Pray for his timing is rarely ours, but his timing is always perfect. His faithfulness never fails. So we're to be those who come to God. May we hear that encouragement this morning. If you feel like giving up on something, I want to encourage you not to give up on that thing that you might feel discouraged in. Rebecca finally became pregnant, but it wasn't an easy pregnancy. She could have wondered, I've waited a long time for this, at least now I'm here, it could be easy. But it isn't. And she says despairingly, you know, I paraphrase, why is this happening to me? I'd rather die than live, almost, in the midst of what was going on. And she inquires of the Lord, and God speaks to her in verse 24 and says, two nations are in your womb. The older shall serve the younger is the end part of it. God had his hand still upon her, even though it was tough. That brings me to our second encouragement. God answers prayer. He answers your prayer. Do not stop. Do not believe that he can't, because he can. Continue to draw near to him. But secondly, as we seek God, he prepares us for what lies ahead. And isn't that so important? As we come to God, he's preparing us. And sometimes we have to wait as part of that preparation. It's not explained here for Isaac and Rebecca exactly why they had to wait, but God gives to Rebecca enough strength and assurance to keep on, even though it was very hard to trust him. His promise to Abraham is still moving forward, even when the circumstances seem confusing. Maybe that's a word for some of us today. Life may feel messy. Plans may not have worked out as you expected. But God has not forgotten you. He didn't forget them, and he has not forgotten you. Even if you think somehow God must have passed over you, he has not. He has not and will not forget you. Psalm 139 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He knows every day of our lives. There's some questions we can ask when we see him face to face. But be assured, he has not left us. Ephesians 2 verse 10 reminds us that we are God's workmanship, created for good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. God is at work in our lives. So as we seek him, he prepares us for the future, all that's ahead of us. God is preparing you, even now, for whatever he's moving you towards. He says to us this morning, trust me, my hand is still on you, on your life. Keep praying, keep walking with me. I know where I'm leading you, God would say to you. He knows where he's leading you. Then we come to the story of Esau and Jacob. Esau, the oldest son, is impulsive. Jacob, his name is associated with grasping and deception. And he sees an opportunity with his older brother. One bowl of stew later, we know this story well. One bowl of stew later, Esau has traded his birthright. It's an extraordinary story. It's not a great model for family life, is it? As we look at what happens, as one takes from the other what is his. Yet behind all of human failure, God's purposes continue. I don't know if you can see that. God had already told Rebecca that the older would serve the younger. This is not the story going wrong. This is how God said it would end up being. God's plan never changed. And that's leads to our final encouragement this morning. Our failures will not stop God's purposes. And I want you to hear that this morning, because we do mess up. And we can think that, how can God use us? Because we seem to go off on a tangent at times, and we get to places that we know or think we shouldn't be. Somehow, how can God use us? And yet what we see in Scripture is God's using those failing moments to bring about his purposes. The Bible's full of flawed people that God still uses. Peter denied even knowing Jesus, yet Jesus built his church through Peter. Paul approved of Stephen's death, yet God chose him to take the gospel across the Roman world. And God can use you and me, and will. I'm imagining that that most of us have regrets. Things that we've said and done that we really wish we hadn't. Perhaps you've made choices that you can't undo. You've gone down a road that you wish you hadn't gone down. God still blesses us. He's still with us. He doesn't bless the wrong move, but he's still with us. And his blessing will come to us. The cross on which Jesus died tells us that our past does not have the final word. Jesus has dealt with our sin, and he invites us every day to begin again. God still blesses people like us, that we might be a blessing to others. You know, he calls us to things even though we don't deserve it, to serve him. It's a remarkable thing. He calls some to preach, others to pray, some to lead, others to encourage, some to teach, others to welcome, to serve, to give, to listen, or quietly stand alongside someone in need. Every part matters, and you and I are those parts. Whether we've gone down wrong paths, God is a forgiving God, and he can make our path straight again. So we're to keep praying. We're to keep trusting. God answers prayer. God, as we seek him, prepares us for the things that are ahead of us. And our failures will not stop God's purposes. So whatever you think of yourself, or whatever's going on, remember that God has hold of it, and he will work things for good. As we see here for Isaac and Rebekah. So God, who keeps his promises, who kept his promise for Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah, is the same God who is still working his story out. Jesus has come. The Saviour has lived and died and rose. God's saving plan for us is complete. But we're part of that story that's still being worked through. How others will hear, how we will walk. May our story continue to be full of God as we turn to him, as we pray, and as we follow. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can keep on trusting you, even when we know that we stray from you at times, we don't seek you when we should and could, and yet you still hold us in your hands, and you bring us back to that path that you want us to be on. Thank you that Jesus is our Saviour and Lord, that from wherever we come to, he's our Saviour and Lord, that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that we can and always can be made new inside because of Jesus. Help us to walk closely with you, Lord, and believe that your hand is upon us as we can see your hand upon your people as we look through your word, the Bible. So, come Holy Spirit, come and minister to us and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.